Hello, friends and families. If you're a homeschooling parent with a child who dreams of achieving great things and making a significant impact in the world, you may find yourself wondering about the best path to help them reach their goals, particularly when it comes to pursuing higher education. As you know, the college application process can be daunting for any student, but it can feel even more overwhelming for homeschoolers. Welcome to Growing Bright, a homeschool edition, a podcast brought to you by Modern Parents Society. I'm your host, Katie Haythorne, and I'm thrilled to have you join us today. In this episode, we have the privilege of welcoming a very special guest speaker, Dr. Tom Golden. Dr. Tom is founder and CEO of Golden Educational Consulting. With over 20 years of experience in college admissions at prestigious institutions such as Purdue and Vanderbilt University, Dr. Tom has developed a wealth of knowledge and expertise in helping homeschool students navigate the college application process. During his tenure in college admissions, Dr. Tom became renowned as the expert on homeschool applications, having reviewed and evaluated thousands of applications from homeschoolers. Today, he and his wife work as consultants, specializing in providing guidance and support to holistic homeschooling communities. In this episode, Dr. Tom will be sharing invaluable insights and strategies for creating a personalized roadmap to college for homeschoolers. Whether you have questions about transcripts, standardized testing, extracurricular activities, or any other aspect of the college application journey, Dr. Tom is here to provide guidance and shed light on the best practices for homeschooling families. So, without further ado, let's dive into this fascinating conversation with Dr. Tom Golden as we explore the exciting possibilities and opportunities that lie ahead for homeschool students on their journey to college and beyond. Dr. Tom, welcome and thank you so much for being here with us today.
Absolutely, my pleasure. This is a true honor to be on the show and excited to get a chance to talk about unschooling and homeschooling and college admissions and all the good stuff.
Wonderful. Well, I know our listening families are really excited and grateful to you for sharing your experience with us and any suggestions and tips for the path to college as a homeschooler. So if you don't mind starting out, just tell everyone a little bit about yourself and how you got to this point.
Yeah, absolutely. So my background is in college admissions as well as in psychology. So those don't often, the way they can go together, but sometimes they those are a little bit separate. But you know, my background is I spent about 20 years in college admissions at Purdue University and in Vanderbilt University. I live in right outside of Nashville, Tennessee. I sort of fell into it, honestly, but really loved it. College admissions, these are the, if you're not familiar, college admissions officers, these are the individuals who work for universities. They are the sort of primary marketing, as well as they do a little bit of guidance to help families through the process to come into to the admissions to the universities and to how do they afford it. And so these are the many different professionals that, that work in that space. You know, as I was going along and doing that, as I was, you know, interacting with families and students, I was loving it. To me, I've always felt like higher education is transformative in lots of ways. I'm always been a nerd about colleges. You know, if I go on vacation somewhere, I'm always visiting a school or two.
Oh,
You know, yes, that is me. I'm that kind of guy. You know, but at the same time, I was also observing that a lot of the students I was interacting with were experiencing a lot of anxiety and stress as it related to the college admissions process, and that really was curious to me. It actually really kind of shook me because, you know, I was somebody who just always felt optimistic about. So it really kind of shook me because, you know, if higher education truly is transformative and it's this wonderful, wonderful thing, well, why is it that so many young people were really, truly terrified about the process they'd have to go through to be able to have access to that wonderful transformative thing. And so I actually, you know, while I was at Purdue, I actually went, started my PhD in educational psychology, specifically focusing on adolescent anxiety and stress was actually the aspect of my work. So people who are going through the admissions process, my dissertation was on studying what was it about the admissions process that was really causing a lot of anxiety, and how could you predict it? How could you cope with it? How could you help students sort of navigate that process? So that led me to in 2015, leave higher education and create Golden Educational Consulting, which I'm the founder of, to be able to then coach families on a better way of navigating the college admissions process that puts mental health and student mental health and family health at the forefront. So we call it Health First College Coaching. And it really builds around the idea that the college admissions process is an educational process, and that students can actually learn something through it that helps them in the future. We have in a lot of ways sort of figured out in our world that, you know, the way that graduate assistantships and jobs and all kinds of things all sort of go through this process of having to present yourself and advocate for yourself to total strangers. And so, you know, can we actually teach young people to embrace this challenge and learn from it and gain in their confidence through this process, as opposed to some of the challenges that we face today? And I know that are very forefront on a lot of families' minds who do homeschool and unschool their children, that they're trying to find a different path. And right. That's 100% what we do. So that's my career to this day. I should add on that a part of that, while I was at Vanderbilt University for the better part of 4 or 5 years, I was the resident homeschool expert. I was the individual who would be responsible for interacting with families and answering questions. And of course, reading through thousands of applications from homeschool families and presenting them in admissions committee, all the things that we can talk about. But that's sort of what led us to connect, because I'm a big fan of homeschool groups and the work that you do, and just want to be here as a support.
I mean, that is just awesome. I know that for my family and all of our listeners, we're just excited hearing that there's someone like you that specializes in this. I think there's so much when you talk about anxiety through the admissions process. Today, the teens are struggling with anxiety widespread. And that's a lot of the reason I think homeschoolers gravitate to homeschool in the first place, is we're trying to get away from that and provide an entire home and lifestyle without all of that heavy weighted anxiety so they can have a thriving life. So then we do worry about how are we going to get into college and still avoid that. Yeah. So well, it's wonderful.
New York University study found that over half of high achieving high school students experience chronic stress on a day-to-day basis. 26% demonstrate symptoms of chronic clinical significant depression. So we have an achievement culture that is just really bearing down on a lot of students. And there seems to be this way that we treat the admissions process at these universities culturally, and the way that we talk about it with young people, that make it seem as if it's like this super test that sits over the top of everything. You know, like every class you take has a test that you take, I guess, you know, some do, a lot do.
Right.
But then we treat like the admissions process is like this super test at the top of the sort of umbrellas over the top of it. Oh, you know, work hard so you get into this college. And it just sort of feels like it's this big judgment on just you educationally as a student. And in fact, a lot of parents sort of feel that way too. Like if my kid gets into a, you know, air quotes, a good college, then then it worked. Right. And that's really not the case. Really, if you think about it, the admissions process and attending college as a whole is just another milestone, right? It's just another educational milestone. Just think about every little educational milestone that you track, you know. Obviously, going back to first words and first time that they were able to grapple with a difficult concept, or first time they really understood what you know, mitosis is, and like all these little educational milestones. This is just another one of those. And we want to sort of set this longer view of like, it's okay. Like this is a little different. Missions process today in modern times is different. And there's all kinds of different words that they are used, but it's just another step on this longer educational journey.
That's very helpful. Very insightful. I feel calmer already.
Good.
Thank you. Well, I'm sure you have so many stories after helping all of these students. I'm curious if there might be one that comes to mind that you could share with us, a success story.
Yeah.
Perhaps. Thanks.
So a family that reached out, I got connected to them. Like a lot of times, I'm connected to people through word of mouth. And so this was a friend of mine who was a college counselor in Illinois. Connected me to somebody, a parent out west, and they were interested in working with someone like me who has a background in this space, but also had sort of a more of a mental health focus. Their student was a very talented young man who was looking for music programs specifically. It's a whole nother session we could do on music admissions. My good friend, Kate Bittner with Legato College Counseling out in Arizona. Legato College Counseling, wonderful individual who focuses a lot on music admissions and works with families that way. But this family was interested in that jazz piano, and he was tremendous at it. In fact, he actually sent me a playlist that was on Spotify that he had made. And I was listening to it while I was driving around town, and just, you know, my son's like, so what's this piano? It's like, well, this is one of the students we're working with. She was homeschooling and had like a lot of homeschool families, just lots of these little pockets of educational sources, you know, places that they were getting their coursework here and there, and needed help presenting that and how to, you know, it was completely homegrown. So she wasn't working with, you know, a transcript collector or anything. She kept everything. And so we worked with her on how to organize all of that. Colleges, and we can definitely get into this, but like colleges really, when it's completely homegrown, they need descriptions from all the different courses that you've taken and all the stuff. So we helped her pull all of that together. Then you've got the music part, you know, we're having to do these pre-screeners, we kind of helped her through all of that. Writing the college essay, like all the normal, typical stuff that you do. And then because it's music and they do these pre-screener videos where you have to like play music and things, help her through all of that. So all of that. And he is this tremendous young man who I have been keeping track of since. And he went on to Southern Cal to be in the music program there. And from all...
Amazing.
All reports is thriving and doing well. You know, doing this work is amazing. You get to ride right alongside a young person as they're sort of coming into their own and sort of putting their own spin. Yeah, putting their own spin on their lives. I think that's just fun. And then I am a big, big fan of all the people that we work with. I'm always sort of keeping track of what they're doing and all the wonderful things that they're doing. And to know that we had a little small part of that is pretty cool.
That is huge. And to hear that he's thriving as he is going through college, I mean, that's just so rewarding.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Truly inspiring.
Thank you.
It shows to me that planning ahead can really make a difference. I know that our moms and dads listening have a lot of questions. So let's talk about a few here. First, when should a student really begin planning for college?
So this always... If you ask students and you ask parents what the answers are, that you'll usually get different answers. Mom and dad, although they think about college pretty early on, it's like they want their children to go, they are excited about it. They tend to think that their high school student is not ready in a way that's early as many students actually report that they are. So most high school students indicate that they are beginning to think about college in the 9th and 10th grade. That's usually about it. Most high school students actually report officially, you know, again, air quotes, starting their college search around halfway point of sophomore year. So once the actual once the actual courses actually start to become like on the record, so to speak. So when you're in eighth grade or before, or the equivalent. I know that for homeschool, that grades really aren't necessarily one for one, but let's just use the typical structure. College students or college applications or college admissions processes, they don't really look at anything that's at a middle school level or younger. That's usually that's not considered. Now, yes, there are some individuals who take courses in that age range, or in some cases might even take courses that are high school level in seventh or eighth grade. Those are typically taking pass fail. So again, you're typically really only looking at high school. So that's when most high school students say, hey, I'm starting to think about college. Most high school students are starting to take in information about college all the way back, you know, into middle school, actually. Now, they're not actually thinking, where do I want to go? But they're absolutely receiving messages. So think about, you know, how you're talking about your own educational path. Again, whether you went to college or whether you didn't, you know, just they're taking in all of that information. What was college like? You talk about what careers you might do. All these sort of kitchen table conversations about education, they are absolutely receiving and tracking. You might not think that they are, but they absolutely are. And what this actually does in a lot of ways is sort of informs this, what I often call sort of a movie that plays in young people's heads about what it's like to go to college. So, you know, me growing up, my dad and my mom always talked about friends that they had in college and the friends that they were able to maintain throughout life that came from college. And my mom and dad met at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville. And so they, you know, big old football school. So they talked about going to football games and talked about, you know, the culture of going to school in the 60s. And like, I heard about all of it. So, you know, for me, what college looked like was these stories that they told. And so think about how you talk about college and the good and the bad and what college really is. And sometimes college can be romanticized in stories. Sometimes it can be the other direction and made to seem as if it's this, you know, big scary place. So just think about the language that you're using there. But in terms of like actual planning, real deal planning, you know, I think the beginning of high school is a good time. And again, it doesn't have to be anything that's too heavy-handed. For homeschool families, the biggest thing early on is just keeping good track of the educational decisions that you make. So what courses they're taking. So obviously we know there's families that are using sort of preset, you know, programs that are out there, and those programs are keeping track of all the courses that your student is taking. Perhaps they're even actually taking those, you know, through that educational provider. And so they're essentially functioning like a digital school that's holding all your records. You also have families that are using a range of things. So they might be doing dual enrollment at the local community college. You might have a family that's doing, you know, online programs through the, you know, AP, the College Board. You can just take, you know, AP courses directly through there, AP for everybody. BYU has programs. I mean, there's universities that offer these programs. And so that might be where most families are, where there's like two or three different groups. They may even have, let's say, a foreign language or world language course that they're taking through a local tutor. And so all of that sort of lives with you as the parent, as keeping track of all that. So essentially what you're doing is just keeping a big old, what honestly it can be something as simple as a Google Doc with just all the different descriptions as you've been able to gather them, just put them all in one place. When they took it, what course they, you know, who was teaching it, just do the best you can to keep all of that together, because eventually when you do apply to college, you know, you may have to provide a lot of that. And so having to go back is very
so insightful. Those are really good tips. That brings me to my next question, actually. If a child is working ahead and doing college courses, do those courses replace the need for the AP testing?
So a lot of the questions we get a lot of questions about, you know, whether you should do dual enrollment or whether you should do AP classes. All right. So let's set aside, the philosophical conversation, because I know that there are some people that for philosophical reasons aren't a fan of either AP tests or IB or those kind of structural
testing, right,
you know,
right.
curriculums. Let's set that aside for a second in terms of what college. Right. Colleges like to see students in an advanced college level coursework, and they don't mm-hmm. don't really look at and say, well, AP is better or IB is better or dual enrollment is better. Okay, so they don't really look at it and say they like them all equally.
Okay, good
but
to know.
The difference is that dual enrollment, dual enrollment is where you are as a student who has yet to graduate from high school, either because you haven't taken the GED or you haven't graduated from some equivalent program, and you're taking actual college courses. And so that's what's referred to as dual enrollment. In that setting, it is college dependent about whether that credit comes with you. Meaning if I mm-hmm. take it at the mm-hmm. local community college, mm-hmm. And I'm interested in taking this, and I might be interested in, I'm just going to totally make this up, UCLA, University of Arizona, University of Colorado, those three schools. Mm-hmm. I will need to go to those colleges' websites and look to see, will that credit transfer? Okay. And sometimes it will, and sometimes it won't. Okay. So it's very college specific. AP has the advantage of being a little bit more portable, meaning most colleges are going to accept an AP score of a certain amount. So typically a 3 will get you college credit pretty much anywhere. Some colleges it's higher than that, depending on the class you're taking. So you might want to look at it and say, okay, you know, I don't need to know 100% of the colleges my student is thinking about, but give me a flavor. Like, okay, mm-hmm. so they're thinking about, mm-hmm. if they're out in California, they're thinking about the UC and the Cal State schools. Okay, perfect. So a dual enrollment works great because those are very specific. There's articulation agreements that say, okay, English 101 here equals English 103 there, and you're good to go. Mm-hmm. But if you're saying, no, we really are thinking about, the student wants to go back, you know, out east, and so therefore you might lean more towards an AP heavy curriculum that allows you to take those credits with you, but you typically wouldn't do one or the other. You would pick either a dual enrollment for a particular course sequence or an AP. Most families will mix and match a little bit, but you wouldn't take a dual enrollment chemistry class and then an AP chemistry. It would be a bit overkill.
Right. Okay. Oh, that's so helpful to know. Thank you for clarifying that.
Of course.
My next question would be, so it's a little bit broad, and I'm just curious how homeschool parents can help their kids showcase themselves and showcase their achievements when applying for college.
Yeah, and this is where I find that a lot of times the students that I work with that are homeschool, they maybe don't realize how unique their educational approach really is because they've been doing it for so long. They don't actually realize the added benefit. Mm-hmm. So let me explain. So, you know, when you're unschooling and homeschooling, you have a certain idea of what you're trying to, you know, accomplish, the type of learner that you would like your son or daughter to become. And you've created this program that's built specifically for them to allow them to think critically about their world, to actually connect with people that are in this space, you know, who are actually mm-hmm. doing this work. So for example, one of the students we're working with, you know, there's this outdoor education program where every week they're out there, they're hiking, but they're specifically looking at indigenous species. Whereas in another class somewhere else in another high school, not to speak ill of their approach, but they're showing pictures of it. You know,
right,
it's very different. Yeah, it's a PowerPoint. An amazing experience that student was able to achieve and receive as far as that part of their education. Mm-hmm. But sometimes students don't think about how unique that is. It's just mm-hmm. what they did on Tuesday, you know?
Sure,
and so what we try to help them understand is to talk about it in a way that says, here's what I've been able to experience. Here's what I'm able to see. Here's how I think about the world around me because of my educational experiences. Mm-hmm. You didn't just take this class. I took a class in environmental studies. I talk about what you actually saw, touched, you know, what is it that you actually mm-hmm. sensed? So we always talk about when we have students write their essays to focus on the senses, because that makes it real. I was able to see this. I was able to smell this. I was able to touch this. I was able to experience this, and make that real as a way to say, this is what my education was able to show me. You know, the college admissions process does require them to have some introspection. They need to think through, why is it that I'm interested in that particular school, and what has prepared me, so to speak, to bring me to this day. So a lot of that is just, you know, having them think about their education. One of the things that if you're pretty early in the process, one of the things that I would say would be a really big help is getting students to learn to write about themselves. And this sounds weird, but like a lot of times our education systems right now, when it comes to writing, they are removing the student from the equation. They're writing about making an argument about, you know, what, you know, and their point of view doesn't really matter. They're looking at evidence. They're looking at what other people said. And a lot of students that I work with, a lot of them don't journal. They don't write personal narratives. They're not writing for fun. And so in a lot of cases, when it comes time to writing a college essay, they're really struggling because a college essay is a personal narrative. It's about your life. It's about your story. It's about the choices you made and what you think about your future. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people, as they come out of academic writing, they are they're better able to tell you what somebody else thinks than they are about what they think. And so getting students to journal, getting students to write about what was it that was impactful about my day. And they may push back. I don't know if it's anything like my own kids. Like, of course they're going to push back.
Right.
But that is, to me, an important aspect, not just for the admissions process, but of course the longer term sort of life. The other thing about activities, if we can talk real second about activities, because a lot of times there's a lot of assumption that colleges really want to see these huge lists of activities, and they got to be involved in all these different things. Not true. That was probably the case about 10, 15 years ago, where they really were looking at the breadth of your activity. They want to see you involved in all these different things. And they want to see that you're a leader in all these different things. What they're looking for really is depth of meaning and depth of contribution. So what that means is, if you've got four things that you're doing and you really like them, that you're able to express why you like them, and that you've been able to find different ways to contribute in that space by either connecting to other people or sharing that interest with other people. I've had students put on their actual applications to college that they taught themselves to play the guitar, that they did woodwork, that they did the code, taught themselves how to code. Of course, babysitting and just working and just being with family, that because you have family responsibilities, those all count. But a lot of times students don't think they do. They think I've got to be the president of this and I've got to be the leader of this. That's not true. Find things that you really love and enjoy. I would encourage our families to see the activities list as like a decoder ring of the person's personality. Like, how do you have this extra time that you could spend? How'd you spend it? Did you do something that you allowed you to explore an interest? Maybe we're learning how to speak a different language, and so you were part of this, you know, conversation group with a local, you know, family that needed help. Or are you doing volunteering work? Just whatever you're doing, love and enjoy that, and be able to explain that to other people. That's really what the admissions process is looking for.
Oh man, every homeschool family needs to hear that. It brings so much meaning to what we do.
Yeah. It's not a checklist. Really is about explaining it and expressing it. Because if the student can express how excited they are about any of these different activities, then the admissions person is going to get excited about it. I tell our families all the time, there's a human being on the other side of this application. I don't know.
Yeah.
ChatGPT coming online. I don't think they're going to start reading applications. I say that facetiously. I really, really don't think we're in line for that. It's a human being, yeah. and they respond to things like anyone does. They want to see students succeed. It is obviously very challenging when you're in an environment where a lot of students are doing well academically. So how do you separate out, you know, in an environment where at the most selective schools where, you know, about over 90% of the students applying are, you know, have AA averages. So how do you differentiate all that? Well, it's through all the human being stuff, the writing, it's the really activities, it's all the different stuff that make you a human being. So that's what it's about.
Well, that's encouraging. That's really encouraging news because homeschool parents can provide that. We can do that.
Wonderful news. I mean, better, I would say better than any place, you know, like it's this where there's not as this border between what I do in class and what I do outside of that.
Right.
That's what college is. I mean, you know, the most interesting places, that's what college is this blending of where learning takes place. And so, yeah.
That's wonderful. Sure. Takes so much fear away. Well, I think we touched a little on unschooling. I did want to go there for a minute, if there's anything else you could add to just the challenges that unschoolers face, but I think everything you've said is very relevant.
Yeah. I think any conversation about college admissions and how in unschooling, I think we do kind of have to talk about standardized testing as much as I would not like to. I do think we are heading towards a world where as a system, we are rethinking the role of standardized tests. And, you know, obviously in the state of California, you've got where the UC schools do not factor in an SAT or an ACT being the prominent tests. But, you know, nationally, you know, we're sitting at about 80% of colleges that do offer some form of test optional policy, which means that a family or student can choose whether to submit their standardized test to be considered. The challenge for homeschool families is that for homeschool students, that there are many exceptions that are made, meaning that for homeschool students, many of them are actually still required to submit their test scores because the sort of fluid nature of the educational background and the coursework and how grades are sometimes assigned, again, not defending it, I'm just saying this is how colleges act, and this is how they work, is they're still going to require a test. So that can be challenging. And this, what I would say is the colleges get to make their determination on what makes sense for them to evaluate an education parent to decide whether to tell that college to go pound sand. And so, you know, if you look at this and say, no, I don't think that, you know, the ACT, the SAT should have an evaluative role for my child, then there are plenty of colleges that will agree with you and will allow you to apply that way. But it's just one of the things to be aware of, that when a college says in a wide open admissions presentation, oh, we're test optional, you do need to ask the question, what about for homeschool students?
Play the game.
The answer very well may be, oh no, yeah, you do actually have to submit an application, an SAT or an ACT. So so there's that. I talked about
record keeping. Thank you so much for answering that. Oh yes, record keeping. We wanted to touch on that for sure.
Keeping good records as a whole. And being able to provide that. So there's a number of good resources that are out there. If you're curious about that in your own setup, feel free to reach out to us at our website, which is drtom.com. It's doctor spelled out D-O-C-T-O-R, Tom with an H-T-H-O-M.com. And then you can schedule with us and we can chat with you and talk you through kind of what is a typical homeschool family need to submit in for record keeping. And overall, I think in the process is, you know, being mindful of the benefit that sometimes can be had when you have what I've termed a sort of transcript aggregator. This is a group that basically holds all your academic records and sends a transcript directly. If you're doing dual enrollment, the college obviously does that. The college will send a transcript directly to the colleges to which your student is applying. listing all the courses that you took for dual enrollment. But let's say there's other courses that you're taking. There's organizations out there that will hold all of those and send a transcript directly.
They create it
very
it.
Easy for you to submit all your materials. And then, of course, but there are certainly sometimes families who are completely homegrown. And so a lot of their materials are, you're having to kind of create them on your own. And that can get challenging. It's not difficult. It's just tedious, you know, but it's worth it, you know, because the educational environment you're creating is obviously super custom.
Well, thank you so much. And I did want to make sure, I know due to time, that's probably all the questions we have time for today, but hopefully in the future, maybe we could do maybe a question and answer over Zoom live for parents to ask more questions to you directly. If that might be something you're interested in.
100% would be
awesome.
Very excited about that. I'm very, very excited about being able to share this with your families and to talk with your families. And I think, you know, overall we're on a mission to try to help students through this process in a way that builds them up. You know, another study found that about half of students say that applying to college was the most stressful academic experience that they've had, you know, not a recital, an essay that they're writing or something that you would normally think of as high, you know, something in school that would be stressful. No, applying to college. And that just seems off. Like we need to find a better way. And so that's the mission that we're on. So I'm excited to get a chance to chat with you today. So thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. And tell us your website one more time and how we can find you.
Yes. So it's Golden Educational Consulting. You usually can find it by Googling that. The website is drtom.com. That's spelled out drtom.com. And you can find right there, if you go to Talk to Tom is the link. You can actually get right on my calendar and you can just chat with me and we can talk about your student and what they're doing. And, you know, whether you end up working with us or not, I'm happy to just be a guide and a resource to families doing the great work of educating their children in a way that's you know, equitable and fair and exciting and learner focused. So yeah, very, very excited.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you, Dr. Tom. Thank you for being here with us today. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Dr. Tom Golden, Golden Educational Consulting. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all for joining me today on this episode of Growing Bright. It has been a pleasure being your host today. Before we wrap up, I invite you to discover the vibrant community within Modern Parent Society, where families from all walks of life come together to support, inspire, and grow together. As the founder of Modern Parent Society and a homeschool parent myself, I have experienced firsthand the need to have a network of homeschool friends dedicated to cultivating growth and friendships and sharing innovative educational resources together. That's why I created Modern Parent Society, a social community designed for forward-thinking families like you. It's a place where you'll find friendship, encouragement, and a sense of belonging. Connect with fellow homeschoolers from all walks of life, exchange ideas, and embark on this incredible educational adventure together. Find us at modernparentssociety.com. Register as a member and keep connected. Until next time, your friend and family advocate, Katie Haythorne. Take care.